This is RSBNB Update, Episode 318, The War on Bots, 2, a special report on the state of botting in RuneScape. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. I'm away this week doing some very interesting things, so as a result, we've got a special show this week discussing bots and the current problem that they pose to RuneScape this year. Some of you guys who are listeners from 2007 will remember we did a similar show on bots with our bot expert, who is a great fellow named UDS Cap. We are here with him again this week, and we are going to discuss various things such as how bots work, what's going on this time, what Jagex is doing about it, and ultimately what we can do about it as players to help to mitigate the problem. So I hope you guys all enjoy.
Hi, Shane.
So we had the same problem in 2007, except it came from a different cause, of course. The problem in 2007, as everybody knows, was fixed by...
Well, they closed the wilderness and they closed free trade. This came after I quit, funnily enough. As you know, in 2007, it just got a bit too much for me. And after I left, they then stopped the wilderness, stopped P2P fighting, and took out free trade.
And then that persisted until February 1st of 2011, which gave us a few years of somewhat controlled economy. I don't know. Verdict is probably still out on whether or not we're in a better position now in an economic sense, but it's clear that we're not in a decent position in terms of honesty and game integrity relating to, of course, bots, which is what we want to talk about today. As I should mention, this is a special episode that will be going out on a no-update week, so we're just going to be talking about bots this episode. No tech news, no picks, no other things like that. And we do have a few of your guys' questions for at the end of the show that we're going to go through and discuss. So our hope is that at the end of this episode, you'll come back with a better view of what the bots are and what they're doing this time around, how they fixed it last time, what could be done this time, and ultimately how you can help and bring awareness to the situation. So with that, I think we should probably just jump into one of the most basic things that everybody might or might not know. What's a bot?
Yeah, it's a good point. A lot of people get confused over this issue. There is some confusion because you have bots and you have real-world traders, and people see these all grouped together, but they are very distinct and very different. A bot generally is a character that usually isn't attended, but we come to that in a moment. It can be also, but it's a character where somebody's using a script to interface with the RuneScape website and to play for them, basically.
And these scripts, I know I've had people bring me these scripts. I'm not naming any names or anything, but they are quite involved and very extensive into what these bots can do, which is probably why we're in this problem that we're in right now. So okay, go ahead.
These scripts still haven't stopped developing. Since in 2007, they were quite well developed. They were attacking a lot of skills and able to perform a lot of functions. Since then, they've still been developing. So whatever Jagex have been doing to develop to counter this measure, the guys that have been writing these scripts used by those that are classed as botting have still been developing as well.
Yeah, you know, this situation is much like I see it in the same way as we see on operating systems in regard to malware. You know, the operating system vendors are always trying to stay one step ahead of the people who are writing the malware and everything. It's kind of the same battle. It's hard to determine who's going to win and who's going to lose in the end.
Yeah, it's a really good analogy. It is cat and mouse. It really is. And I'm sure that there are staff from Jagex that infiltrate sites that create the scripts and the like, just to try and keep clued up on what's going on. But yeah, it really is cat and mouse, and very similar, very, very similar to malware and antivirus and the like.
All right, so you also mentioned real-world traders. Let's take a moment and tell the people what the difference between the real-world traders are and the botters.
A world of difference, really. With the real world traders, quite often it actually is somebody playing the game. It's not a script. It can be a person that's physically controlling the character. Sadly, they can be controlling many characters at once. And this could well be somebody that's in a country where they have particularly low wages or high unemployment, where people are being paid very small amounts of money to play the game all day long, collect resources, kill particular monsters, or so on. At the same time, you can also see real-world traders using bots. This is where a lot of the confusion comes in. The idea of these guys is that they generate GP by the most efficient means possible and collate that money, and then that is used on the various gold selling websites, the GP selling sites.
All right. And then once this GP is cultivated or farmed, so to speak, that is then sold to people for real world money, hence the term real world trader. Then people buy this GP and then use it in RuneScape for whatever they want to use. So hence the term real world trading. So the problems are different, but in a way they do kind of mesh together. That would probably be an accurate way of summarizing that.
Yeah, very much so. And the interesting part as well between those two is from 2007 onwards, real world traders really weren't an issue and weren't impacting so much on the game, whereas bots still were.
All right. I think you went silent there again due to a connection issue,
Sorry,
but
mate.
that's okay. So now that we have the bots and the real world traders as both being critical problems, which one's the bigger one? Like from our discussion just now, it seems as though if we were to kill the bots off, we would kill the real world traders off. That's probably the case, right?
It would certainly be a lot easier to beat real world traders without bots than it would be to beat bots without real world traders. I would say bots are certainly the larger issue of the two at the moment.
All right. And that's of course what our focus is going to be here. Just that, some people I've talked to get the two confused, assuming they might be one and the same or they're linked together, which they are, but the bots are the main problem here. So
Yeah, there are also some people that see bots as not being a problem. And this is something we might talk about a little later on. They see that some skills are just grinding, and they think it's okay for bots to play for them.
which we know, and it's always been the case, again, from Jagex's rules and whatnot, that no, botting is not okay. It's never been okay to RuneScape. And it goes against the fundamental values of the game that were first established way back in 2001.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And again, that word is important here, integrity. Without integrity, there really is no point. If every skill can be botted to 99, what kind of achievement is there?
Yeah, exactly. Like I know you and I have talked before in the past, say about mining. Mining 99 mining used to be such an accomplishment to have the 99 mining seal cape, but now there's a question. Did that person that just walked by with that 99 mining cape bought it to 99, or did they do it legitly through the Living Rock Caverns or even more tedious mining coal somewhere?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? And this whole perception thing is quite fundamental to the problem. And perhaps one of the biggest reasons we need to see Jagex act. But we'll come to that.
That we will. So now that we've been having this problem since February when this first came out, and I think when this came out, I predicted that something like this might happen. But is what we're seeing in 2011 any different than what happened in 2007 due to what they're doing or what their goals are? Or is it just the same thing?
Very different, really. Different landscape. It's interesting because it ties back to 2007. It is the reason why it's different. Leading up to 2007, we had probably a higher proportion of real-world traders than we did bots. Just to be clear, usually there are a few different ways that people generally use bots. There are people that use bots on their main accounts to level up skills on their main characters. There are those that use bots on throwaway accounts in order to try and generate GP, very similar to real-world traders, and then with the hope that they can trade back to their main accounts, whatever they generate. In both cases, that's very much detectable by Jagex, and people do risk losing their accounts, so please don't consider going down that route. And then there are those that are real-world trading and using bots in that way. These bots, since 2007, when they stopped free trade, that pretty much stopped the real-world trading because they couldn't trade between characters anything over a small limit. When they stopped that, people generally moved towards botting on their main characters, because they couldn't trade between accounts. They couldn't do it on their throwaway accounts. The real-world trade accounts couldn't do it. So people moved towards botting more regularly on their main accounts. And that wasn't tackled enough. Or at least I feel that's the case. What do you think? Well, do you think they did?
Yeah, you bring up the point about whether or not JX was doing anything. But you mentioned that you quit sometime between, say, June of 2007 and when free trade was removed. And during that time after free trade was removed, you know, we didn't really hear much about it except in the months immediately after free trade was removed. It was more of a kind of a calming sense from Jagex trying to encourage the players that everything was okay and we're going to get back to a point of stability. They had these articles that came out called State of Play, as in, what are we doing to make this better? But not much in there was mentioned about the botting problems of the time. And, you know, botting kind of, I guess, went underground and that you didn't hear much about it because it wasn't something, as you said, that caused many ripples in the economy because people were doing it on their main account. There weren't whole armies of real-world traders that were specifically designed to bot and generate GP, as you said. So we didn't really hear much about it until the whole trading thing started happening again back in February of this year. And, you know, even through that time, we saw removals of random events and everything. They said, oh, we don't need these. We have decent detection methods and everything. But, you know, I don't think that those random events were useful at all ever.
they seem to have been overcome fairly easily, didn't they?
You see these things tagging the pillars and doing mazes as primary examples, you know, but mm-hmm. So yeah, there really wasn't much emphasis of the bots between then and now. It's just a matter of the economy thing bringing it up to the forefront again.
I mean, during that time from 2007, it was perhaps very much more underground and less visible. And I think that's a key thing, is how noticeable the problem is. That is probably more important to Jagex than the problem itself, if that makes sense. If the problem's not noticeable and people aren't aware of it and it doesn't impact on them, then as far as Jagex's concerned, great. If it is noticeable, that's when it becomes a problem, because that's when people complain. But the scope since 2007, I'm sure the guys that were developing the bots were still carrying on working and developing these scripts and character interactions from then.
Well, of course, they had lots of reason to, because during that time, also, there was something known as private servers. Those also took root, and, you know, that, I'm guessing from a software engineering point of view, purely, you would build a private server in kind of the same way that you would interface with the real RuneScape client illegitimately. So they probably got their practice on private servers or something, and then took that back to the game with the knowledge they learned and used that to better their bot evasion methods against the random events and whatnot and other countermeasures.
Yeah, I suppose it gives them a great opportunity to fine-tune their scripts.
Yeah, see, this whole private server thing actually started from a point in which there was some way to get the JX's code through the client, and that was taken and applied to a server of their own, and private servers were created from that. So I'm not sure exactly the reasoning as to how that was possible in the first place, but that seems kind of what the root cause of this whole thing might be from my point of view. Moving on from now that we know it's completely different than 2007, specific area in RuneScape or massively everywhere as to where the problem exists? What would you say?
It's everywhere, really. It is everywhere. There are so many locations in which botting and real-world trade usage occurs now. I think you'd struggle to find an area that isn't affected. The reason being that anything where GP can be earned is a target.
See, with this, I also remember in 2007, we didn't have bots that would just runecraft to gain runecrafting experience. Now there are bots that will run through the ZMI runecrafting altar to level someone's runecrafting up to that. And, you know, we don't think of the ZMI altar as a way to generate massive amounts of runes, but if someone's going from, say, level 70 all the way to 99, that is a substantial amount of runes that will be generated, and that will have an effect on the price if those are all dumped at the same time into the economy. So that's one area from 2007 I see different. I don't remember like seeing in the obscure skills, you know, like there's even people that bought agility now, or even at the ranging guild for ranging guild tokens. I don't remember that in 2007.
I think we also saw the introduction of more combat oriented bots, which weren't really quite so prolific, again, perhaps due to the complexity of them. But they seem to have come in recently, which again leads to them being prevalent in more areas again.
Two examples in terms of combat bots that come to mind are Abyssal Demons and Black Demons.
Yeah, quite. Black Demons are absolutely covered in bots at the moment. It's interesting because they do move as well with the economy. So, for example, there were a lot of Abyssal Demon bots a while back, and then the whips dropped substantially in price, and they realized it wasn't as profitable to them anymore, so they moved en masse. And the same happened with Tazar. They were killing the Tazars, getting the tokens and so on. And then what you saw on most worlds at the GE, you suddenly saw a whole plethora of Berserker necklaces being sold, for example. So the Tokel had been, or Tokel had been dumped into Onyx Gems, and then they had perhaps been sold off on the GE or what have you to generate income.
And we know how much an Onyx goes for. I remember not too long ago a Fury amulet was roughly 18 million GP, and currently Onyx Gem is only 11.3 million. So it has come down a bit, but there was a time when they were mega expensive in terms of how much even just the gem costed to buy on the GE.
That's right, yeah. And again, perhaps because of the impact. Interestingly, some of those bots have been going back now as well. There's also times where Jagex will step in, for example, the Blue Dragon bots. Jagex did KO an awful lot of them, but it does they make it out almost without saying anything. The impression they seem to be given is that they have targeted that area and they've put something in place to identify the bots there. They haven't. What seems to have happened is just that they've enacted on a lot of reports from that particular area all in one go, which makes it seem as if they've KO'd them, but they haven't.
And as we know, they will come back eventually to that area. I know we saw a similar decline in activity when the woodcutting trees in the Draenor area, Lumbridge area, or not Lumbridge, I mean south of Falador area, were updated alongside the new mining rocks throughout RuneScape. There was a decline and then back up after the countermeasures were subverted again.
Just to give some ideas of areas, because people, generally people might not know some of the more heavily botted areas, but Black Demons, certainly one of them, Tazar, the Green Drags are fairly heavily botted now. The mining spots, like the Mining Guild, the mining of Rune S. So, for example, you go to East Varric and look at the constant stream of characters going to and from the bank. Sorcerer's Garden, the collection of herbs. The herb prices have crashed massively. And you'll notice that the ones that are particularly crashed hard are those that are sourced from Sorcerer's Garden, the low-level herbs, primarily. There are numerous other spots all around the world. I don't think there's a single major population area that's not got some form of botting going on.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I can't think of anywhere that would be quiet in terms of botting activity. But while you were mentioning there, the places, Black Demon Bots, aside from the ashes, could that also be people wanting to farm the effigies? Because I know Black Demons are one of the best effigy droppers, and as you get higher up, the level or the amount of XP you get from an effigy does increase.
Totally. That's a totally different subject, isn't it, about the benefit of the effigies for those training combat only to then suddenly gain XP and other skills where traditionally it's been hard. But you do see a lot of guys suddenly turn up with 100 plus effigies and that are stowed away in the bank, and you think, crikey, have you just been storing it up to do all in one go? Or have they just left their bots running in and disappeared off and then come back a period of time later and collected them all?
And that's something we'll never know. There's no way for you or I to know if they were botted or if they're legit.
No, it's something we'll not have any way of finding out. And the sad part is as well, the effigies aren't tradable, which thank God they aren't, because that really would destroy the construct of the game. But guys,
that would be a perfect way for somebody to go and get 99 ring crafting. Latency was interrupting there, but.
But it is difficult, and it's hard. And again, perhaps that comes back to the integrity again, this whole thing that certain things are meant to be hard. That's the reality of it. It's not always easy. It is sometimes a grind, and it is sometimes very slow and painful to get certain skills up to certain levels, but then there is the reward.
Yeah, and I started playing as a member back in June of 2004, and I can definitely say I don't think it's just a matter of having more disposable income on there to have the ability to buy stuff, but I can say that the training methods have definitely gotten easier. Say for two examples that come to mind are the ivy wood cutting compared to normal wood cutting, and of course the Living Rock Caverns compared to, say, power mining iron.
But I wonder with things like ivy, because ivy is all over the world, you have it in so many locations, is that just a means of Jagex hiding the issue? Because previously the bots would all crowd around the mage trees, the yew trees. It was very noticeable because they were all in the particular areas, the best areas to train. Whereas now with ivy being spread everywhere, it's a lot more transparent, isn't it? You don't really see the impact because these guys are spread out in quiet areas, tucked behind buildings, quietly botting away.
Yeah, and to compound that, I don't know anybody who hasn't done 99 woodcutting with ivy since it's come out. So these people will just blend right in with the normal people getting 99 woodcutting, and it'll be the same speed whether you're a bot or if you're not a bot. So, as you said,
That's right.
that's questionable on JX's stance right there. So.
It is difficult as well because, and this is perhaps something where people feel a little scared sometimes to report people because some skills are semi-AFK-able, if you like. They are ones where people are watching TV or a movie or something, and then at the same time, or flicking through websites and then flicking back to the game. As much as that side may be against the rules, you shouldn't play in an AFK way. The reality is, when you've got things like fishing and cutting ivies, people will sort of semi pay attention, and then people think they're botting.
Yeah, I'll exactly admit to that because mining and fishing, those are two various tedious skills, and I don't think anybody with YouTube is gonna just sit watching your character mine or fish when you could resize the window and have a YouTube video going at the same time and just focus on that instead.
Exactly. Yeah,
So,
exactly.
but this also brings up another issue that I just remembered. The overactive reporting of some people. I mean, some people in this day and age will just report people in a hot spot like a Living Rock cavern if they don't reply, automatically assuming they're a bot, which, people like to think they're doing something, but I don't think that's just doing any good for clearing out the actual bots. It just creates more work for Jagex in terms of what needs to be reviewed and whatnot.
Yeah, it does increase the amount that needs to be reviewed, but I would hope, from a programming point of view, from a software engineer style point of view, that when a character is reported, that they're then submitted for some form of automatic check to see sort of whether they are showing patterns and traits. And trends that support the fact that maybe botting, rather than a human checking that automatically, and then I would hope, have some form of scoring system, so that then people are only reviewing the ones that are scoring highly, as in being likely a bot. People shouldn't worry about reporting somebody that they aren't sure whether they are or aren't a bot, or whether they have suspicions, but then they think they might not be. At the end of the day, if you report somebody who's not a bot, they will not be banned for botting. It's that simple.
Which is kind of unfortunate because there are lists of things that are reported that are definitely bots. I mean, we saw this back in 2007. There's huge lists, and it took ages for these reports to be acted upon. So you're right in what you say there.
Yeah, it's interesting though, isn't it? Because the that life has changed since 2007. As you know, when I went on a bit of a mission back in 2007 to report a lot of bots at once, we tracked them, and we tracked how quickly Jagex acted on those. And to be fair, they were fairly swift. Some of those accounts were banned within 24 hours. Some of them within 72 hours. Nowadays, I reported about 100 bots just recently and tracked them, and the swiftest ban, and these were ones that were very noticeable bots, the FM bots and so on. The bans were taking 2 to 3 weeks for the very first one. Whether that's because they're backlogged, or whether they're just not so quick to act now, I really don't know.
Yeah, that's completely not acceptable. But what you're saying from a software engineering point of view, the automatic checks, I hope that's what they're doing because every time I move my mouse, the memory of the game client increases, so I'm hoping that they're tracking mouse movements or something in some way, or camera movements, just to make sure that, you know, that this isn't the same path the mouse is taking for every log that's lit or something, you know?
Yeah, and it's difficult because you'll know as well from what you've seen on the subject, scripts can be made to be very convincing. There can be randomized changes of camera angles, randomized clicks and mouse movements that still come back to sort of the main area they need to go to, which does make their job difficult. But there are a combination of things that can help them see that the character is botting. And also, bearing in mind what I said earlier, when we're talking about what a bot is, a bot can be a script that's playing for them. That doesn't stop somebody sitting at the keyboard whilst the script's playing for them. They can be talking away to you quite happily while their script is doing the grinding for them, which yep. makes it difficult for them to detect. Makes it difficult for them to detect the difference. And again, it's just perhaps down to how much data is being recorded, how much is audited.
Which, you know, that could be something that's causing the problem too, is that, you know, does Jagex have enough people taking care of this kind of thing? Yes or no? I don't know. But we've answered that question that the bots are everywhere now and pretty much all skills. So this is a perfect time to jump into what's Jagex doing about it from their point of view, aside from the 2 to 3 week reporting time you just mentioned.
Well, some would argue Jagex is not just being inactive and not just doing things about it. Some people would argue that they're actively helping bots and real-world traders. I mean, just to give some ideas, doors now stick. So previously, people would, if they had a bit of time to kill and wanted to go and help stop bots, they'd go and shut the door on the S mine, on the teleport to the S mine in East Varric. Now, if you shut the door too often, the door sticks and stays open. I don't
that
see
is
much
rather concerning.
That.
I mean, we can all click on a door when we come up to a door. I mean, yeah, we're trying to be courteous to the player here, but you would have to open that door if you were actually walking to that place to get a teleport to the Rune Essence Mine.
That's right, and the bots can open the door, but the bots were quite slow in doing it. So usually if a character was, as I say, had a bit of time in the hand and they went there and shut that door too, the bots would open the door, but then there'd be a moment before they'd run through, and that was just long enough for you to close the door on them again, and they'd never get through. Now, perhaps that was taken away because people used to, characters that were being annoying would also close doors on characters at other spots. So, for example, upstairs in the monastery at Edgefield, they would close the door there. But, I mean, surely the answer is take the door away, for crying out loud, at the spots where it is annoying for characters, and leave the door where it's at bots and let it be closed.
Yeah.
It's not the only example as well, bear in mind, that they've taken away, as you mentioned earlier, the aggressive randoms.
Throwing fishing troll, zombies, the ant from the when you're woodcutting, and the rock golem mining.
Yeah, and the bees.
Oh, right.
They were all, you know, useful and effective against bots, only to a certain degree. Sometimes the bots would just run away when they got to a certain health. But they hampered them. And for genuine characters, they weren't much of a grind to deal with. And they're always actually quite a nice thing because it meant they'd get a casket or something from them. I don't know. You could argue a lot of steps have been put in that have helped.
Yeah, I know since February, and Jagex can be swift with an update if they want to be. I mean, talk about 2 months from, well, not even 2 months, month and a bit from mid-December through to through to February 1st to bring the wilderness back, surely you would put quite a bit of testing through a QA update like that, because you're not going to be reusing code from 2007 when you're bringing the aggressive wilderness back. So that would have been a substantial change on the code base. So, you know, if JX wants to, they can be swift about an update. So they could have pushed some more anti-bot countermeasures through immediately after the free trade came back.
Yeah, it's difficult, and this is a criticism that's often leveled at JAGEX, whether it's fairly or unfairly, I don't know. But the difficult part of it is that the member bots are generating an income for JAGEX, whether we like it or not. That's the reality of it. And when it comes to that, they do have a conflict of interest there, realistically, because if every single bot was gone, they would be making less money. At least that's how they see it. So it's hard. It's hard for them to get the balance right, I suppose. And again, it comes back to, as long as the problem's not noticeable, it suits JAGEX well, because then they generate an income but don't have complaints.
Yeah, and you know, this can be said about many other things as well regarding a noticeable problem or not. I mean, there have been times in the past when problems have been attempted to have been covered up only to resurface stronger later. So, you know, I don't know that this would be doing JAGEX any favor if they're just ignoring the problem because of, as you said, you know, that's bringing money in. So maybe we can just, it's not noticeable, so we can just leave it. Then this could be causing more problems down the road. So,
yeah, that still wouldn't stop them developing the scripts further and so on. Much the same, yeah. Really, has happened from the gap from 2007 to now.
And that's what we said earlier. Even though there was no outlet for the trading and whatnot, these things were still getting powerful and being used, just not as noticeable. So, JAGEX people. Some people say JAGEX is doing all they can do. Some people say they're not. You know, we really can't tell because we've not seen the numbers associated to it exactly, or the way the anti-macro systems work, and whether or not they're actually working against whatever bot would be thrown against it. So we're just left to speculate on this one.
Yeah, we never will know in all likelihood the full details of what they're doing. Again, they can't really discuss it openly because those that are using these scripts and those that develop them are watching very closely to see what is said also. So we'll never have full, frank, open discussion, even though personally I feel that probably is the way to go. Have it.
Yeah, it might be, because if we know all what's going on, JAGEX, we can maybe suggest some things to JAGEX, and then from there we can come to a community-based solution that doesn't involve removing free trade and whatnot. But, you know, there have been times also on the show when I've been scared to say something in relation to how a bot might work. Like, I don't know that that's how it would work, but, you know, just if I was to randomize something, that's how it would be done from a programming point of view. So I've even myself taken caution a few times as to how far I would say into how something like that might work.
Yeah, it's difficult. And I think you've hit the nail on the head before many times when you have mentioned one thing in saying that the skills should be more interactive. The very reason people started botting in the first place was because they didn't want to do the more difficult skills, the mining and the like, because it was slow, tedious and a grind. Whereas if you make it more interesting, make it more involved and reward those that are more interactive with the game, surely that's the way to go. Give more XP to those that are more active.
And we can see this too with other things, like one thing that comes to mind is the Artisan's Guild for smithing. But the problem with that update, even though it was interactive, it's not as appealing as just sitting and grinding adamant plate potties to 99.
No, of course not. People are looking at speed, they're looking at what they get out of it. the reality is, AW Artisans Workshop is one of no end of dead content that's been released in the game. You know, 1 week later, and you go most worlds, it's dead. Good fight, Jagex. You know,
which is really unfortunate, because if I was the developer of that, I would want people to be using it as a way of training. And I know I mentioned this to you. Where are the updates like we had in the early years? Like, where's the Barrows of 2011 that changes the way, like, changes the kind of armor we use? And it's something that people are always going to, you know, to get that armor.
Yeah, it's really is what we need. It's difficult, though. I mean, there is so much content in the game now. There are so many factors to consider when you release a really fundamental update as to the impact it will have on the rest of the game. And if they get that balance wrong, it can be very difficult. It could be seen as ruining the game if you lean too much towards one combat class, for example. So it is difficult for them to do these sort of fundamental updates. Plus, they're running out of area. I think they're moving in the right direction. They're moving in the right direction with instances now. So, for example, Clan Citadel will be another instance grouping up for people to go off, and they'll all be together on one particular instance together, much the same as Dungeoneering and the like. But the game loses something when that happens. When everybody's taken away from the main world map and taken out so that they can't see each other, it loses the interaction, the social aspect that was really part and key of the game. So I think the updates still need to consider that as well. I understand them running out of areas, but they still need to make sure people can see that. But we're kind of moving away from that point, aren't we?
We had the exact same discussion on episode 316 of the show in relation to the quest, in that the quest is entirely instanced with characters you're controlling. Granted, it would be more work to program it for a group of you and three friends to do it, but that would add something to the game, something that we don't have right now, which is, as we said, you know, it's something JX isn't doing anymore. Whether or not that's a good thing, I don't know. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no reason why they can't get a group of characters to jump together, go to a certain spot, and then go off and do whatever they do. I suppose that was the idea with Dungeoneering, wasn't it? But they're also in a difficult position because they don't want to be seen to be trying to clone other well-known games out there. So,
yes, that's true. So. I think you're right, we did drift a bit on that about what JX is doing, and maybe they did make it easier, but we haven't seen really much in public admission that botting is a problem since February. We have seen a few forum posts, and JX moderators are, I think they were sanctioning those bot hunts, were they?
They were getting involved with some player movements that were going on. There was quite a well-known one called the botting awareness movement, and that really is just highlight exactly the important thing. It's about awareness. It's about people knowing what's going on so that they can see it happening and so they can act on it, and this involved some players on the forum organizing get togethers in game with people that generally wore the same outfits and the like. They all wore teal colored hats or something. And they'd all go in game and they'd report as many people as they could in one of these botting hotspots. And that gained popularity to the extent where JMods were joining them on their trips in game and taking out their ban hammer and going around and KOing a number of bots. They did maintain a thread on the forum about this in terms of the total of the number of bots that they had killed in such actions. And that was, I think last count I saw was about 35,000 bots. And that I mean, that's impactful. It's obviously going to make a difference, but that was within a couple of hours a few hours, shall we say, of different visits in-game and KOing them. It's interesting, though, because they don't... Sorry, go on.
No, continue.
I say it's interesting though because they don't publicise it very much. There are no major news posts about it, not even to acknowledge the problem. And I think that's what annoys a lot of the old school players, because we've been perhaps spoiled in the past by Andrew and Paul being heavily involved in the game. We know that they would have a habit of just putting a news post up saying, hey, look, there's a problem. We're aware of it. Hands up. But we're doing something about it. Be patient with us. And that would get guys a lot more supportive of them rather than just flaming Jagex and saying, hey, they're doing nothing. But the only post just recently, they've only posted on their Twitter site, the Facebook page, and in the forums, but they've not done any news posts about it.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, as you said, Andrew and Paul, those were the two that were pretty much hands-on from the very beginning of this. We haven't heard them speak in ages on the front page or anything, which is kind of disheartening, because Andrew was very hands-on with his game, and he took active role in the development and interacting with the players and everything about it. And, you know, it's kind of sad that we don't see that anymore.
Yeah, it is, and it's a shame. I don't think we see that quite as much. How best to phrase this? We don't see Mod Mark, for example, going out of his way to jump on the front page and say, "Hey, look, this is what's going on." The only time you see a direct involvement on the forums and the like seems to be where it's quite challenging, where he's contesting what people are saying, and rather than just saying, hey, look, this is what we're doing, and championing that. As you know, there was a change of the board of directors back in February around about the same time the free trade changed and the like, and it's hard to know the impact that's had on the game because obviously we're not involved and we don't hear anything about what's going on at Jagex head office.
And that would be so much easier if Jagex was a publicly held company to find out about all this kind of stuff like that. But as you say, as we said earlier, speculation, that's all we can do about this. I mean, they could have wanted to step down from the board of directors. They could not have liked the way management wanted to take the game. So it could be anything.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's a whole plethora of reasons. And I'm sure there are other projects that they're busy with at the moment as well. And frankly, look at what they've done with RuneScape. I think it's a hell of an achievement what they've done from day one to where they are now. So all credit to them. But
yeah,
it's a shame that their passion is gone.
Java as a medium, I never thought that what Jagex has done with Java could ever be done. I mean, I actually showed a computer science teacher the game as to what Java was used for, and it even amazed him. So it's an amazing feat what they have accomplished with Java.
Yeah, totally. They've done some great things. And, I mean, coming back to what they're doing about the botting issue in game with the Java, there's a huge question mark. They talk about their anti-bot detection systems. A lot of people would say they don't exist because of how prevalent the botting has been and how many people claim that they've been botting for a certain period of time and not been detected. But I think the detection is perhaps still there, but the acting upon it is slower, which makes people think it's not actually there. Obviously, there's a lot more they could be doing as well.
I'd agree with that, because I was speaking to someone, and apparently he had been botting on this account since sometime around November, even before Free Trade came out. And this was back in late April, and there was still no action on his account. So, and then later it did get banned. So it just takes a matter of time, as you said.
That's right. And bearing in mind, during that time, they're tracking all the trades that are happening. They know who's traded what to whom. So these things will come out in the end.
Yep. And just a side note, the 35,000 mentioned from the player bot awareness campaign at $5 a month, that's $175,000 lost revenue per month. And that's at the old price. So even if they were new subscribers, that would jump to about $208,000 if they were all subscribing for the U.S. price of $5.95 per month.
Yeah, it's substantial, isn't it? And this is just one point, if I can just highlight from the earlier question about what's different from 2007. In 2007, a great many of those bot characters were created using stolen credit cards. A lot of the Far Eastern accounts where they were using real-world traders were using stolen credit card details. Jagex had to refund every single one of those account payments, so they lost all of that income. They gained the income initially, and then when it turned out that they were stolen cards, they had to pay it back. That seemed to spur the action that they took in terms of the removal of free trade and the removal of the wilderness and the substantial game changes, because they yeah. lost a substantial amount of money.
I remember coming on here the week after it happened, and we described it as using a nuclear bomb to solve the problem. And, you know, in that kind of situation, that's probably all they would have been able to do.
Yeah, they totally pulled the plug, didn't they? And it was the nuclear option. It was the hammer to crack a nut. This time round, I think what seems to have happened, I might be wrong in this assumption, but what seems to have happened is that these guys that are using real-world trade and the ones that are using the bots are saying to themselves, well, why do we need to use a stolen credit card? I can sell this GP for a certain amount of money. It's profitable. It's actually better if I don't use a stolen card. Do it on a genuine card, because I can pay that back within a few hours of gameplay.
And that's the thing. That is not trackable by Jagex, because it's not a stolen credit card, and they don't have to pay that money back to the cardholder. So,
and then
kind
that's
of a catch-22 situation there.
Yeah, this is where it's a substantial difference from how it was before, because the motivation to act on it isn't there this time around.
So now that we know what Jagex, you know, could be doing about this, which, I don't know, did we even come up with anything that could be done that would, in this day and age, actually stop this? Or it just seems, as we mentioned, it's like a feedback loop or something where it just keeps feeding back on itself and there's no real way to stop it.
It's a plague. It's a disease. There are certainly things they can be doing, though. I mean, we touched on some of the things earlier when we said about what Jagex has done to that seems to have had no other impact except to help bots. So you reverse some of those, perhaps, just to start with. So put the sticking doors back on, put the aggressive randoms back in, things like the unlimited home teleport. If a bot gets stuck or a bot's not gaining XP for a while, they've got a guaranteed starting point if they use their home teleport. So take it back away. Okay, I know it helps people as well, but sometimes if you're slightly inconvenienced and that means that a bot gets completely KO'd, surely that's the better option.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't make sense to me when I read it. The home port was supposed to be an option for new users if they get lost or need to go back, but they made it clear last year that they shifted their audience from the younger user to the higher age teenager group who might not need as much guidance in the game. So it's like, why did we take this step backwards in that? I question that myself too.
Yep, definitely. And even things like, I mean, this might seem totally unrelated, but the name generator. You know how they suggest names for you automatically now? That in itself can actually help bots because they blend in more now. So rather than being called Superbot123 and Superbot1234 and so on, they're now called Dragonman829 or what have you, and they blend into the background.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, I doubt that was the actual motivation for that, but that's what it did. It helped people blend in.
Exactly. So. I mean, what else can they do? I would say bring in a capture-based random. You have to type the characters on the screen. There's no reason why they can tie in with the likes of recapture or something like that. You know where they're.
Yeah, that would be a good cause to go. I mean, that would be kind of, I guess, the modern use of fatigue, because you know, fatigue in RuneScape Classic was when you were tired and you needed to recharge. But we don't need that anymore, so this would probably be the modern equivalent of fatigue, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah. We wouldn't have to go back to using sleeping bags. I mean, bear in mind, we did have a capture system, didn't we, back then? Even this was, wow, must be 2002 or thereabouts.
Yep, that sounds about right.
And it was very basic, and as I understand it, the bots did eventually overcome it, but it KO'd them for a long time. And done right now, if they do it properly now, there's no reason why they can severely cripple a lot of the bots by introducing something like this. But I think they're just worried perhaps that some players won't understand it or will get stuck and then they'll get complaints. But, I mean, you can't wrap everybody in cotton wool forever.
Yeah.
It's such an important... I mean,
that's exactly what the two strongholds did, player safety and player security. Those exactly padded the game for everyone and taught everyone what to do, and we're beyond that now. So according to JX's logic in the past year and a half, it should be fine to put these more aggressive countermeasures in.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I wonder sometimes as well whether JX sort of missed the point. I remember back when I was a level 3 when I was starting out, and when I first started playing the game, and there was the introduction, the Lumbridge
tutorial island.
That's it. Yeah, they had tutorial island, and you went through that, and that showed you things. But really, you only got a couple of skills that you were shown there, and then you were dumped into Lumbridge, and that was it. Off you go. And you know, that was. A lot of the charm of the game was discovering these things and finding out and getting killed by a goblin or something when you wouldn't be too far away. But that was what was more enjoyable because it was more challenging. Whereas now people come on, they've got a level 3 and they go and beg people for GP, and it really destroys the whole point of the game.
Yep, I'd have to agree with you there. So... Jagex could do a lot of simple things, but they haven't yet. And, you know, as we said, we don't know why, but we just have to hope that they'll do something like that. So now that we know what Jagex could do, what can the average player do to fix this problem, or at least lend a hand in fixing it?
Be active in reporting. I know it sometimes doesn't seem to achieve anything because they can take so long to act on those reports, but don't stop reporting because of that. You know, do go on and do it. There are also things you can do to detect the bots yourself as well, like the fire-making bots. I'm sure you've tried before, Shane, yourself.
Yep. Which is a method, I think. Do you want to describe it, or do you want me to see if I
can? Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Basically, what the idea is with the fire-making bots, you know, a fire-making bot will go in a straight line until an object comes into its path. And there are a few objects in the game that a player can set up that will actually act as an invisible wall to these bots and force them to stop, and then... As you showed me, and as we tested out by the GE there a while back, you know, this bot will just sit there until the attendant moves it over to the next seat, next place. And I think the item in our case was the Hunter Box Trap, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's one of the ones that can cause them to be stuck, along with bird snares, marker plants, and so on.
So be active in reporting. Also, maybe if you see one of these bots, try and stop them with some kind of countermeasure. Though I'm not sure how you'd stop a woodcutting bot.
They had some tools in place for level 3 woodcutting bots. I don't usually recall, there was an update a couple of weeks ago where they stated in the patch notes that they had now stopped exploding toads from damage when they're at low health. Was taken away because people were using it as an anti-bot thing. They'd find level 3 bots, they'd take the toads from the ogre area where they were used to catch. They'd inflate them with gas and drop them down next to the level 3 bots. Then move out of the way, the toads would explode, kill the level 3 bots, and then they'd be gone. And people
that
were
was
doing
removed
this
for some reason. So we don't know why that was removed, but conspiracy theories aside, it could just be that innocent level 3s were being killed.
Yeah, I'm sure there were also level 3s, innocent skillers, level 3s perhaps walking around in party hats, you don't know what. And I'm sure they were being targeted also. So,
yeah, that would be kind of dangerous. So, essentially, just keep reporting, keep track of the bots you see, and they will get banned eventually. And, you know, you can maybe find some countermeasures online to stop these bots and make life a little bit more difficult for them. So, that's what you should do to stop bots. Is there anything they should not do?
Not really. There isn't really anything that's going to help the bots cause so much. I mean, one of the things they should do is just help raise the awareness again with people. There are a lot of false facts going around about bots. If people can do one thing, it's just to help counter the argument. I mean, one thing you hear an awful lot is that the prices would go up if the bots all disappeared, so the bots are a good thing.
And this translates into our next point. Yeah. Does the economy need bots?
I would say no, absolutely. Absolutely not. It's a common argument for people to say that the bots are essential to keep the prices of resources low. And don't get me wrong, I can remember when sharks were an awful lot more than the few hundred GP they are now, and when mage logs were 3K a piece and the like. But people really miss the point. The economy does not need bots. It's that simple.
The economy is better without the bots because it makes it that much more worthy for you to go out and fish your own shark or cut your own magic logs and sell those for profit, you know?
Yeah,
we used to have a staff member. He went from like 75 woodcutting all the way past 99 to upwards of 20 million on pure magic logs, and he was rich afterwards. And this was back in the time when you were mentioning when magic logs were at that price, so it was definitely worth it for him to do that.
Yeah, it defeats it for everybody. Unless you're purely combat-based, unless you're only doing PVM or PvP, resources, prices will impact on you in a positive way if the bots are removed and those resource prices go up. I mean, you've got to bear in mind, even the people that are doing PVM and just fighting various monsters and bosses, they're... Bandos drops, their necks drops, their corp drops are all worth less because of the lowering of the prices of resources. If the prices of resources went up, so would also the price of their drops.
Yep, and because everything is linked from that primary resource all the way up to the final product, or in this case, the drop, because those are influenced by what you need to bring into that area, so... It would benefit everyone, as you say. So, the economy does not need bots.
Well said.
Is there anything else we want to mention before we get into some of these questions that were submitted by the listeners?
Only really one thing. I mean, I'd like to say some kind of wish list of what I'd like to see happen. And as much as I think it probably will not, certainly it's something I'd like to see go on. I'd like to see more posts by JAGEX moderators, more news posts on the issue, recognising the issue, just acknowledging the fact that it is really impacting on the game. Putting the hands up, perhaps in respect that they said when free trade came back, they said we have adequate bot detection now, so it's not going to be a problem. Well, that didn't work. So put your hands up and just say it. You know, they only need to say it once. So they're not going to be sued by anybody. But it would do them a lot of favour in terms of getting their kudos increased with the players base and certainly the old school players if they actually acknowledge it. And then perhaps have a zero tolerance session. Even if they announce it and say next month will be zero tolerance month, any botting or the likes will be a permanent ban. No arguments, no ifs, no buts, no buying back of accounts or what have you. And just watch the impact
that's one
that
thing
has on the game.
We didn't mention buying back accounts. In some cases, you can buy your account back from JAGEX if you were caught botting. And, you know, that's not a permanent ban. That just encourages someone to do it again because they would have had a good time doing it, but they're having a negative effect. So I don't see why they allow people to buy their accounts back.
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, let me just clear up one thing as well. As I understand it from what JAGEX have said, I don't know whether this is the case or not, but from what JAGEX mods have said, if you were to be banned for botting and then they did allow you to buy back your account, they, I understand, strip back the levels, strip back the cash and so on. But then if you were to bot again, it would be a permanent ban that would remain permanent. At least this is what's been said. I don't know anybody that's countered that argument, so I'd assume that is true. So they just keep botting and botting and botting, but at least they can act on it now.
So in relation to your list, points for it?
I'd like to see the aggressive randoms back. I tell you what I'd like to see back as a random, I think this was incredibly effective when it was in. The Magic Box random. I don't know if you remember that one.
Oh, right. Yes. I forgot about that one, but... Yeah, that one was a fun one if you managed to miss the first box.
That's right. If they brought back a modern version of that, that was effective. That would totally KO the bots because the idea of that random was that it filled your invent with unbankable items. So unless you were able to solve the puzzle, you would not be able to carry on skilling, you wouldn't be able to carry on gaining XP and so on. Now, even that, though, has been KO'd now because of the ivy and the like. Because if you think about it, a player could just carry on cutting ivy and having the magic box fill their invent.
Yep, and that's the problem with ivy. And, you know, this could go back to your capture thing as well. Just put a capture that is decent on that, and that, as you said, would kill the bots in that area.
That's right. Yeah, really, there's no point JAGEX trying to hide behind the sofa or what have you and hoping it'll go away, because it won't. They need to acknowledge it. They need to get out there, be seen to be proactive, and get the players on board with helping them. There's no reason why they can't have perhaps more player mods going out there and actively flagging accounts. It's always struck me that the things like the reporting timer, where you can only report one character per 60 seconds, could be perhaps removed for certain types of reports. Plus, they need to add more options to the reports. So for every rule that there is to be broken, there should be a reportable option for it. For example, you can't report somebody for suspected real-world trade at the moment. I know they don't want to make it so that you can right-click and report somebody, because there'll be an awful lot more reported spams, or report spams rather, but they should at least make it less annoying to genuine players who really want to help and want to report lots of bots at once.
Yeah, that would be a good thing, I think. So, anything else on your list?
No, that really is it. I just want to see them really putting their head above the parapet and saying, we acknowledge the problem, we're going to do something about it. This won't carry on, because I think just the motivational effect that will have on boosting the morale of the genuine players will help a lot.
Alrighty then. So that concludes the first part of this episode. Now I got a question for you. Would you like to take a break since this internet is not exactly cooperating and we did spend a this could be an episode in itself if we wanted it to be. I
Sure.
don't think we need the questions, so we could it's up to you. We could trim the questions down or we could come back another time for a pure questions episode about bots. It's up to you. As to what you'd like to do, because we.
I'm happy to go by. I'm more mindful that you're the one that's staying up late at the moment, Shane. So
Oh,
I'm all right. I've got a day off work today. I'm not doing anything right now, so I'm easy.
right. I think we should probably trim the questions down, because this first question here, in relation to about general background of what bots are even. Doing on RuneScape, so prevalent in and even combat areas. I could understand the old woodcutting things, but how does this even work? Are some players paying the bot company to up level up their characters? I don't know. Is that still relevant after what we discussed?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've kind of covered it already, haven't we?
Yeah, that's what I was
Understand the old.
thinking.
Yeah, I mean, let's have a look through these and see if there are any that really do bring something different to the game.
I think we can keep number two from Jamie City in there about just to raise general awareness about keeping accounts safe. That's a good one to keep.
I think also we should have Meltdown's question in there.
All
I know
right.
obviously it raises a contentious point, but
Yeah, we need to
yeah,
say that, even if you hear that, that's probably not true most of
that's
the
right.
time. Waffle 233, question one.
He's got Simeon.
Is there a way to make money off the botters?
Well, that could lead to a whole discussion about Jagex microtransactions, couldn't it? And the auras and the like. So, could a few doors that one, but I don't see any reason why we couldn't answer that very concisely rather than going off on a tangent.
Okay. 4 hour logout timer. Decrease the amount of bots in game at once.
We can answer that quickly because that's just going to be a no, it probably wouldn't help overall.
All right. Let's see.
J Bob Man,
Yeah,
his
that's another
question,
simple
yeah,
one.
that's a good question. It's good to
And
raise Starling Tor as well.
and this other one about Max. Max is
Yeah.
actually an NPC.
That's right. You know who I saw in game yesterday? There's a lass that was playing called Maxine, and she has the completionist cape. And I just thought it was a fantastic name. I mean, she's had that name for some time, from what I could see. But you know, what a fantastic name to run around Varric and bump into Max.
Yeah, that makes that's interesting that has a name like that, and then it actually translates into that, and then the other NPC named Max.
Yeah, I think we can
Alrighty,
go
well,
through some of these questions.
yeah,
It's an
okay,
interesting
well,
thing
we'll
as
just
well,
remove the
Shane.
first one.
Yeah, you know how one of these questions mentioned Silent Core a bit later on? The one from J Bob Man.
Right.
That is, it is worth mentioning a few of the sort of well-known characters, you know, in just the general podcasts. It's worth perhaps even doing an episode on well-known characters in the game and those that I got you know well-known YouTube things that I followed and what, just to boost the popularity a bit.
Yeah, that would be a
Although
decent
you need
idea, I
it.
think.
Not that you need it anyway, because you're already right up there in the off you the main podcast, aren't you now? So.
Yeah, I just wish that iTunes would realize that and kick some of these old ones off that are there. And it goes purely based on subscriptions, and I think we've reached kind of the plateau point where we can't get as many active subscriptions as we used to get, which of course is what controls the ratings on the or the where you appear on the iTunes listing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We have to see if we can get JMod on. That'll boost it, won't it?
Yeah, that would be really fun to do.
Do you think they'd have the guts?
I don't think they would let me do that unless it was a set list of questions.
Yeah,
I sent scripted. The questions in beforehand, and then
yeah.
which isn't what I like doing. I don't like going on a script. I like having a general outline of questions, and then if that spawns another one, go down that road, or maybe even throw one in along the way, that kind of thing. But
I can't see they'd be that free about doing it.
No. Yeah, I the best thing might be to send someone to RuneFest with a microphone and ask a question or something and record it and then just put it in the show or something. I wish I could go to that show, but it's just too much for to go to London in October. That just doesn't make sense to me for 2 weeks or whatever.
Well, I want to go to down there.
I wouldn't mind going to England and whatnot, but I'd want to do it as a part of a greater Europe trip and whatnot. But October is not the right time for that.
No, I'll have to see if I'm working down there at the time. If I am, I might just go and say hello. Let's have a look at these questions then. Okay,
yeah, I think this actually will be the show we put out next week because I'm away next week, so this would be a perfect thing to just put up and put out because assuming they get the update release that they're having this week.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be the Jadinko thing, isn't it, tomorrow?
Yep.
Now, that'll be a fairly straightforward one.
Yep, and we do the alternating host thing now between Chief, Cullen, and Paul. I decided I'd save Chief until the Clan Citadels come out because it's just...
cool.
And I also have another thing of mine coming out that week, so it'll just be a more natural thing for me to do that week. Because for my Informer thing this month, I'm doing a mock-up of what a 2011 RuneScape interface could be because, RuneScape interface has evolved over the years, but it's still got its basics back when RuneScape 2 first came out, so it could be changed up quite a bit.
Do you use the fixed display or the full screen or resizable?
I use resizable. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to be suggesting that would get killed in this UI redesign is the fixed window.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do. As much as I cling on to it, it is the right thing to do. I just love my old school layout and my tiny little window,
And that's fine. I mean, that even runs just fine on OS X. So, for me, but I don't know. It's just a matter of being spoiled and whatnot. And we got OS X Lion coming out this week, which is going to be a whole other story in itself. I had a massive exchange back in March or something with JX about you really should be getting going on supporting OS X Lion because as it is this operating system is going to ship in July and your game's not going to work on it because what happens is in Lion they made the transition so that Java applets are running their own process rather than within the browser process. And on OS X, it just completely chokes RuneScape into being totally unresponsive, even on the login screen. So
have they acted on that now?
But not last time I looked at Lion was developer preview 3, and it was still the same.
Ouch.
Which is I don't have high hopes because from November until February of this year, macOS users who use the OpenGL mode were without a minimap.
Man. And they just didn't fix it at all.
Yeah, they just had one developer working on it, so. Anyways.
It makes you wonder again.
Yeah.
But are they just looking at share? Are they just looking at audience percentage and whatever? But yeah, they need to act on it.
Yeah, probably. Yep. All right, so the questions. The only one we were moving was the first part of JMI Cine, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did. And then the Meltdown question, and then the second question from Waffle, J-Bob Man, and Lord Rickles. So we're good to go. And don't worry, I will read this essay of a question. Whenever you're ready.
Yep. Okay, I'm good to go.
Alrighty. So now that we've kind of discussed about where we're at with bots, it wouldn't be RSPNB update without looking at, of course, listener questions, which is what this show lives on. So we got five questions that we're going to discuss here. So I will start off. The first one is from Jamie Sini. I have had some personal experience with this issue this week in a related problem. My teenage son's RuneScape account was hacked. We honestly cannot figure out how it happened. He hardly ever plays anymore, having moved on to Minecraft, and generally only logs in once a week to run around with me and find penguins. Last time he was on was a week ago, then last night I saw his username logged in while he was sitting at the computer right next to me, definitely not playing. He went to account recovery and was able to get the account back in moments and logged in himself. He was in the Moss Giant area near Gnome Stronghold, not where he had last been, wearing rune armor, which he was not wearing beforehand. An investigation of his bank determined that the thief had sold off his best equipment, full Zamorak armor, various dragon armor, whip, food, etc., and apparently had set a bot program to fight Moss Giants. There were 3,500 big bones, which he hadn't had before, a bunch of herbs and other giant drops, and his attack level had gone up several levels. I am quite sure that he did not share his password or bank pin with anyone, yet someone obviously obtained them. None of our household computers have viruses that we can find. At any rate, if we had a virus on our computer, it seems as though it would have hacked up my account too, which they did not. So we can't understand how the hacker got into his account in the first place, but even more are confused by what the heck they were doing. Why steal an account and make it bot giants? Further, they had left some 3 million GP in his bank, obviously the proceeds from selling off his items. Why hadn't they transferred it to their main account? What do you think might have been going on here? Thank you so much, and thank you for any light you can shed on this troubling problem. Jamie Sini.
Wow, what a situation. Obviously, this could have been in the middle of being used. What do you think?
You know, I'm not sure how they could access the bank pin. I mean, the only way you would get a bank pin, if it was indeed set, would be to have some kind of screen sharing application or screen capturing application that would run and while playing RuneScape, and then send the pictures back of the bank pin, and at the same time concurrently act as a keylogger and track the password, and then, of course, send that to whoever was using it. That's the only way that could happen. I don't think I've ever heard of that happening, so I'm kind of at a loss for what this would be. Unless, like you say, there was no viruses on the computer. The only thing really left in my mind would be a phishing scheme somewhere where he might have entered his username, password, and bank pin. I don't know if your son would do that, but that's the only thing I can think of.
It's one option. I mean, I'll play devil's advocate here. As much as I don't think it's the case, theoretically, he could have set up a bot application himself on the account. But then, would he have sold off his best gear just to get cash for it and left that in the event? That wouldn't make any of us, so.
Yeah, not to mention that the big bones were also there before, too.
So, yeah, quite.
And if he's a member, as he is by Gnome Stronghold, what use would Big Bones have to himself unless he was planning to sell them somewhere. I mean, it just kind of doesn't, it doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel like a typical hacking to me. Does it to you?
No, no. I mean, to say he's never shared his account, which is obviously good. I mean, I think a lot of people miss that really sometimes. Some people very casually share their accounts thinking, hey, it'll be okay. And then suddenly they're absolutely shocked when somebody they've trusted for many years does the dirty on them. People do act very strangely when it comes to GP. I've seen very good friends out of game suddenly fall out because in game they've one of them has done something to the other. It's unfortunate when people share accounts, and sometimes they end up losing items or having their banks cleared because they've trusted somebody for many years and then they've done the dirty on them. Doesn't seem like that's happened in this case. I think the likely scenario is exactly as you've said. Perhaps he's used a phishing site and that's taken his login details, or maybe he's used a private server and used the same login credentials that he does on the real game, and then somebody's taken that information and logged in.
Yeah, that could actually be it too, because, you know, private servers can very closely look like the real game. And, you know, if you're not using the official client or playing at runescape.com, that you do not want to be entering your password or bank PIN anywhere. So another thing that I would just like to say as general security note, for every website you go to, even though it might be hard, use a different password. That will help you greatly in terms of preventing leaks from, say, having an account stolen at some place and then that compromising all of your other accounts. That's just another good little piece of internet safety to pass along here.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've lost count of how many passwords I have for different systems and the like, but it's important to keep them different because otherwise somebody gets your email password, somebody they get your RuneScape password, and so on. You know, nowadays things like PayPal.
Yeah, that would be a bad one to have compromised. So.
What are we saying with this guy? We think. What do we think might have affected this? Just visiting maybe the wrong site. Maybe ask some questions about that.
Yeah, that would probably be the place I would start at. And feel free to submit another question for the next RSBNB update episode based on anything you find. And I'll do my best to continue on with this thread so we make sure it doesn't happen again. Thank you for the question. The next one is from Meltdown. I think over the past 10 months, we've really seen how much bots are a part of RuneScape. More than half of all players are bots, and Jagex themselves said 50% of the bots are actually paying members. The game would be dead without them, whether they want to admit it or not. So 50% of their income are from bots. They can't just get rid of them all, and Jagex knows this. So my actual question, if you were the head of Jagex, what would you do regarding bots? Okay, we answered that before. It's financial suicide to ban every single bot on RuneScape, but it's almost another form of suicide to let them stay. Let's face it, they're ruining the game. What would you do? I think the point we want to make with this one is that that's an unsubstantiated claim. I've never heard anywhere saying that 50% of all paying members are bots. That would be a massive amount, and I don't think Jagex would let it get that far. At least I hope not.
No. Well, also the claim about half of players being bots. Just to make clear, these are not in any way substantiated. This is nothing official that's come from Jagex. These kind of figures are bounced around the forums from time to time. There are a lot of claims based on how many people log out after an update and then don't log back in straight away. It's usually used as an indicator. But, you know, you can't just assume that that's the case. Most people, I would think, normally would log back in after an update. But some people are going to think, hey, it's time for me to go and crash out and do something else or what have you. So you can't just use that as a guaranteed figure. I do
Yeah,
think there are a lot, but certainly not 50%.
That's true. That's very true. But that's a prime example of what you say, I know, because if an update comes, I'll log out and go do something else, and I might not come back to the game until an hour or 2 hours later. You know, it just depends on what else I need to be doing at the time. So I'm one of those people that don't log in after an update.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give you a challenge here. I'm going to ask you what percentage of the players online do you think are botting at sort of peak times? So say you've got 200,000 players online. How many of those do you think are botting? What is the scale of the problem?
You know, I wouldn't put it, I'd say 10% or less. If 200,000, 20,000 at a time, that would be it. That's what I would have to say there.
I think I would go slightly higher. I'd say anything up to 30%. And I'm including there the real world trade, the bots, those that are botting on their mains and the like. So those that are playing the game unscrupulously, should we say, I would say probably about 30% in my own.
Okay.
Mine.
And
again,
as we said,
that's no way substantive.
Yeah, no way to confirm that. As we mentioned in our previous segment, we're all just speculating here based on what we know this year and in 2007. So ideally, we want that to be zero, but we just don't know.
Yeah. In terms of them ruining the game. Sorry. He does have a point, as you mentioned earlier, when the integrity of the game is challenged, when skill capes mean nothing, when skills don't mean anything, what really is the point in playing? What's the point in
exactly
trying to achieve something if everybody
exactly
can achieve it just by pressing a button?
I had this exact moment in March of this year. I mean, I have 7 or 8 99s, and you know, what's the point in this for me anymore if these skills are botted and there's no real use for me to get a 99 and make the skill useful to me? I've already got the 99s I care about: farming, herb lore, agility, and woodcutting. So what's the point for me playing anymore? That's the question I had in my mind, and ultimately the answer came back to RSPNV update. That's the reason I'm still here, is to continue doing this show and create awareness around matters like this. Even if I don't get much out of playing RuneScape, that's my purpose for keeping up with the game updates.
Yeah, I think it's important, as that social aspect is very important in the game. And as people get fed up with the bots and leave the game, that'll eat away from the social aspect. Much as Meltdown has said here, eventually it will ruin the game. So you can't just leave it unattended. You can't just ignore it. It won't just go away.
Yep. And, you know, that's like what you said. Acknowledgement from JX would be one step towards making sure that we can stop it from getting any bigger than it is right now and move on to a better RuneScape and a RuneScape going forward. Because I know they said in the past they want to continue at least 10 more years of development on this game.
Yeah, you'd hope there's some longevity to it. And with new investment lately, it looks like they're putting money into it. I mean, bear in mind, they earned somewhere in the region of $38 million in the last financial year that they grossed, so there's definitely substantial income in the game for them from advertisements and membership and the like. But let's take a bite of reality here. No advertiser is going to want to advertise to a whole bunch of bots and nobody else, and at the same time,
yeah,
no bots are going to be playing the game, or real world traders will be playing the game if there's nobody to sell to. So there has to be a legitimate player base to to generate the income, both legitimately and illegitimately.
Yep, and you know, you have to get rid of one of them. You can't just remove the players, because if you remove the players, you have no game, and you can't. So the bots are the ones that have to go. So
yeah, it's difficult.
That's just what it comes down to.
It is a quandary, but I'm sure most players would prefer, or at least those playing legitimately would prefer, that we go back to many years past, when the botting issue wasn't such a big issue, and the game was more about those that were legitimately earning the skills and the levels.
Yep. Anyways, thank you for the question, Meltdown. We're going to move on to another one now from Waffle 233. Actually, two of them. So, as Meltdown said, apparently 50% of Jagex's income is from bots, but isn't there other ways to make money off this in a positive way for the game, such as suing the owners of the botting site? I bet there's hundreds of them out there, and they could make tons of profit off this. It would actually be the reverse, I think, wouldn't it? It would be more expensive to... Suing someone is just mega expensive on both sides. I mean, you pay your own legal fees, the other person pays legal fees, you have the legal fees of the court system, it's just mega expensive.
Yeah, it's not a cheap option to go around suing people, and certainly it's not traditionally a very profitable option. Any money that's been generated by these botting sites won't be stowed away in company accounts ready to be taken away by a successful court case. It will go back into the predominantly criminal fraternity.
Yeah. You know, it's just like real world organized crime, you know. You want to stop it, but there's no way it's ever going to be 100% stopped. Lots of investment needs to go into it. And, you know, in a way, we're lucky that RuneScape is self-contained and that Jagex is the ones controlling it, and they can really clamp down on it.
Yeah, if they choose to do so, they can hit it hard. And the thing is, you don't need to stop it. I think it's a misconception to say you've got to eradicate it entirely. All you need to do is make it difficult, because like in the real world, with any kind of security, if a burglar comes along, he's going to pick on the house that hasn't got an alarm than the one that has. They'll take the easy route all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, if something is hard to do, there's going to be less incentive to do it. And over time, you have to hope that people will just stop doing it.
They'll move on to other games. They'll move on to other games where it isn't so hard to make their money. That's the reality of it.
Yep. Alrighty, question two from Meltdown. Do you think it might be a smart idea for Jagex to have a system update type of thing on a regular basis? So essentially reboot the servers and kick anyone off. It would annoy some players, but it would log out the bots. Or do you think Jagex should make the 6-hour logout timer a 4-hour logout timer instead? This would also decrease the amount of bots in-game at once.
Sorry, that was question two from Waffle 233.
I'm sorry. Did I say Meltdown?
That's all right. I think we were both looking at the same thing there. I think the idea of logging everybody out really will not annoy the bots that much. I understand what you're saying there, because again, this whole thing that once there's an update, it takes quite a while for people to come back on, and when they do, so on and so forth. I think all that would happen is if this became a regular thing, the bots would be designed to be better at logging back in, is the reality. So I think it would probably be self-defeating. At the moment, there's not such a focus on it because it's not a regular occurrence, so that the script creators aren't really concentrating on it. But if they were being kicked out every hour on the hour, for example, it would be more impactful, so they'd be more likely to do something about it. And I think the potential impact on genuine players.
And you're already in the applet when you log in, so it wouldn't be that hard to have a bot enter your username and password to log in once you get kicked off.
That's right. And I think for those players that are doing things like fight caves or dungeoneering or what have you, it could be very impactful, which wouldn't be fair on the general population. I think there are other things Jagex could be doing which are less detrimental to genuine players that could impact more.
Yep. Yeah, because, you know, like they could put resources into this, but is it something that would work in the long run? No, because it would just be another useless countermeasure like some of the randoms are that we have now. And as we mentioned earlier, the home port removal, removing sticky doors and whatnot, it would be fall into the same kind of case as those where it's just some another thing that loses its purpose.
Yeah, I think it's a good question to ask, though. And I think it's right to ask it because, again, it is moving towards that idea of making it as annoying as possible for the bots. But I think we need to find ways that aren't going to be as annoying to the general population, but still are going to annoy the bots.
Yep, and that's going to be the key in general for this battle of 2011 here. So thank you, Waffle, for those two questions. The next question is now from JBobMan7. Is there any reason Jagex doesn't shut down botting sites? I remember hearing about them shutting down several a while ago. I was also watching a video by Silent Core about botting. Is it true that they have ones that simulate human movement and can talk? If yes, is there any way to stop these bots? Thanks.
Wow, a few good points there. Yes, they did shut down several major bot sites, as I gather. But it's not a simple operation, is it?
No, because, you know, the internet is an international thing. Jagex is a company based in the UK, and the laws are different wherever the sites are. So the UK, whoever would handle that in the UK, isn't the same people who would handle it in, say, China, if the site is based in China, and you're not guaranteed to get the same kind of response. So it does become a very tricky thing if it's something minor like this and not a matter of national security, like a terrorist operation website or something like that.
Yeah, there's no easy route around it. Plus, bear in mind, Jagex have to play by the rules. It'd be a lot easier if they didn't have to, you know, if they had were able to get people to go and take down these websites maliciously and what have you. But you know, the reality is they have to go by the book, don't they?
Yep.
It's a slow process. It's a process.
And, you know, for every website that gets shut down, it's easy to create a quick website, even if it was on a free host provider. A domain name is less than $10 a year, so just plop that up, and within a day, you're back up and running.
That's right. That's what makes it very difficult. So I think they're right to target it because it does disrupt the cheats and the like, but it's also, it can't take up too much of their resources again because it's not going to have enough of a long-term impact. Yeah, I'd recommend anybody to go and watch that video by Silent Core. That's on YouTube. It helps highlight what we've been discussing today. It's a little dated now, but it still has a lot of valid points in it and helps raise more awareness. They can talk. They can simulate human movement. There's a certain amount of randomization there. But they can still be stopped.
Yeah. I mean, a bot can do anything a human can do. It's just a matter of scripting it so that it appears human enough to people for it not to report it, and random enough to avoid the detection methods. So yeah, that is something we do deal with in this age. So I think that about covers it from JBob, man.
Yeah,
we got our last question now. Okay. Do you have something you want to add?
Just one thing, as you said earlier, we don't know how much information Jagex is recording on player interaction in the game. We don't know how many mouse clicks they record or how many movements of cameras and so on. And bots can replicate a lot of these, but at the end of the day, if they analyze the movements and the actions of accounts, usually they should be able to trend out somebody that is likely botting. So even if they can do things like talking and responding to people, they still can be detected. It's still important not to lose hope and think, well, that's it. We may as well give up because we still can detect them.
Yeah. And as you mentioned before to me also, it's just a matter of getting all the data, looking at it and pointing out the trends. And Jagex is a massive company. They probably have quite a few talented scientists for the game engines that they've written. So they could do this as one of their countermeasures, and to basically have a bot heuristics program that would look at analyze the users and then flag them automatically for people.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. You've described it perfectly there, like an antivirus for bots in the game, where it's looking for those patterns and detecting them and then flagging them.
Yep. So we can hope Jagex would do that, but it's just a matter of moving forward and acknowledging the problem before anything else. So, anyways, thank you for that question, J-Bob Man. Hope we've provided some insight with that. And our last question now comes from Lord Rickles. Although I often wonder if Jagex is really doing all they can to stop botters, I feel the recent release of Max, the Max Cape NPC that obviously runs on a macro of some kind, is Jagex's attempt at understanding how bots operate. Do you feel Max was a test subject or a form of research on Jagex's part, just the tip of the iceberg of what they're actually doing, or am I reading too much into this? What are your thoughts on Max? Thanks a bunch from Lord Rickles.
That's a good question. I suppose it comes down to, is Max just repeating a set sequence? Is he just doing the same thing one after the other? Or is he indeed sort of free roaming and bouncing from one thing to the other? What do you think?
I don't know. Max does kind of look player-like, but I never thought of him as a player that would look like a bot personally. He always seemed kind of he always had the NPC quality to him in the way he'd move around. Like he'd come into the bank, get into a corner, walk back, and then walk back into the corner again, kind of like an NPC would do in a certain area. So that kind of tipped it off to me that, this is just something that's pre-programmed by Jagex and not trying to look like a bot as if it could be a bot.
I mean, I think we also don't know whether it's just doing the animations of the various things or whether it's actually carrying those things out. It's a difficult one. At least it runs. It's one of the few NPCs that runs in the game. Everybody knows everything else walks, so that's good to see. I mentioned earlier to you as well, I saw a character yesterday, a female character with the name Maxine, and she's got the completionist cape. So yeah, comparing. Just give a shout out for her.
So Maxine, did you see her in Varrock or?
The G.
Oh, okay. So she
So
wasn't
yeah.
next to Maxine or I mean next to Max duplicating the actions that he was doing.
No, although that would be quite freaky if she was, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would
You
be.
see Maxine running around, that would confuse people, especially when she
Yeah,
starts talking back. But yeah.
because Max does not talk back.
No, he doesn't. He does talk, though. He does say things like, about time I go on with skilling or something like that. It's hard to say. I mean, they could be trying to test it, but what value would there be in it to them to understand how the scripts work? I'm sure they can get copies of the actual botting scripts if they need to. I'm sure they have people infiltrating the various sites and can reverse engineer any of the scripts that are out there. So I don't see that it would give them any value to have their own bot in the game or to come up with their own bot code. If anything, it would be counterproductive because if people can reverse engineer the game to host private servers, surely they can reverse engineer the code that goes into direct in Max if that's the case.
Yeah, that's a very good point with that. And that comes also to a higher level point in that reverse engineering, when designing something, you have to kind of have in mind, can I make this so it can't be reverse engineered? And that might have back in the day actually been the start of all these problems if there was a point at which the game client could have been reverse engineered to give all the to allow bot writers to develop all these hooks into the game that we have now.
Yeah, I mean, as I understand it, the bots changed over the years, didn't they? Because it used to be that the bots would be looking at the game screen effectively and trying to recognize certain colors and patterns and shapes, and they would use those to click on, say, a rock to mine it or a tree to chop it. The technology moved on in terms of how the bots interact with the game now, and now they do it using game IDs. This is perhaps a mistaken understanding of it. It's a very basic understanding, but from what I've read on it and what I've seen, they directly interact with items based on their ID within the game.
Yeah, I
Until
concur. I've
Jagex
heard that as well.
actually changed that, there's not really a lot can be done about it. And there are signs that they may be. If you recall, there was a mention a couple of weeks ago when they did an update, they had to roll out an emergency update again straight after because people that were trying to click on things that they shouldn't be able to see were being kicked out. For all we know, that could have been an attempt to nerf the various bots.
Right. Yeah. That would make sense as well, 'cause it once something is broken, there's no point in just tweaking it. You gotta totally re-engineer the entire thing to be useful once again. So,
And they've had
anyways.
success with that as well. I mean, you look at the Rune Essence mines, they changed the character there, the way they keep off for the name now. The guy in the rune shop there.
He is now
And
named
changed.
Larry R. Bonus
There we
points
go.
if you know who Larry R is.
And they changed the portal colours, didn't they? And that stopped the bots for quite a while. There were a good few days. This is why the price of S doubled within a week or so, because people thought, hey, the bots have all gone, that's it. And then they panic bought, which kind of artificially inflated the price again. But it just shows they can have that kind of substantial impact as long as they change the right thing. And fingers crossed, they might be just waiting to press a button. That would have a really substantial impact on all of the various scripts out there and stop a lot of them working.
Yeah, I hope so. And every time there's a hidden update, there's always hope that the server reboot that's happening is gonna do something about that. So I'm always hoping in regards to that. So
Yeah,
anyways,
fingers crossed.
yep. Thank you, Lord Rickles, for that question. And thank you everybody for your questions on this subject. That brings us to the end of the program today, so we hope that you've enjoyed this. And more importantly, I think I'd like to thank Cap here for taking the time with me to go through botting once again in 2011 and answer your guys' questions. So thank you for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to go over it again. Let's hope we don't have to have another one on this subject
Yep.
in the
If
nicest
anything, we
possible
will
way.
have another one when Jagex conquers the bots again. That is the next time I
Fingers
hope we
crossed.
will have to do one of these shows. Yep.
I
So,
hope so.
thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
I hope you guys have enjoyed that episode on bots, and I hope it is in some way useful to help in understanding how bots work or how they can be combated. And as always, we want questions on this topic. So if you have any follow-up questions for this episode, those can be posted on next week's show topic, which should be up by the Sunday, the 24th. As usual, you can send us questions in four ways. Send a text question on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums. Look for the topic there as of Sunday. You can also send a audio question to questions@rsbnb.com. Also, audio questions can be sent to a Google Voice number where you can leave us a voicemail, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. And finally, you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the user RSBNB update, no punctuation or anything on that, and call it and leave us a voicemail. We'll be back next week to cover clan citadels and any further questions you might have regarding this topic or anything else. So we will see you then. Have a good weekend, everyone.